Several years ago, there was a group of investors in Israel that wanted to construct a new bridge on the Sea of Galilee, which they at the time had hoped to have open for the millennium tourist season. And the story that I read about this bridge didn't say what the two ends of the bridge connected, and apparently that wasn't the point anyway. They wanted to build this bridge 1 inch below the surface of the water. That way, people walking on it for a fee would appear to be walking on water. Think of the photo opportunities. The only miracle there was the miracle of marketing. And sometimes it seems like those are the only miracles we get these days. But I think that that's not exactly true. A few years ago, when I was visiting the Paulist Parish at the campus ministry at Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, I was preaching about miracles, and I thought, I'll just ask. So I'm going to ask all of you. If you personally or someone you know has experienced something that you believe was a miracle, raise your hand. See that? More common than we think. So, what exactly is a miracle? Now, this has to be a bit of a rhetorical question because, of course, if they could be easily explained, they wouldn't be miracles, would they? Miracles, by their very nature, are circumventing nature's laws, and therefore they cannot be easily explained. There are miracles where we are left with unexplainable physical evidence that something impossible has occurred. This might include the kinds of medical miracles that are required to prove sainthood. This would not include things like uncollapsed soufflés or that spray-on hair stuff. They may be amazing, but they are not miracles. Then there are the miracles that are what I think of as miracles of providence, where things just work out too perfectly. No physical laws may be violated except maybe the laws of probability. And you've probably experienced these sorts of miracles, the narrow escape from a horrible accident or some other unfortunate occurrence, or the perfect alignment of events. Sometimes I feel like I get one of these providential miracles when I get a parking space downtown. There is a very popular bumper sticker out there that says, "Expect a miracle." I don't know who came up with it. I've always suspected it's from some 12-step group of which I'm not a member. But it always struck me as odd because I think it runs a little bit counter to what miracles are really for. A miracle requires faith, and to see a miracle indicates a willingness to accept that God is at work in the world, making things come out all right. But miracles, at least as we perceive them, are capricious. They're not always around when you need one. But that doesn't mean that God is capricious, and it doesn't mean that God is not around. And this is the danger of relying on miracles. We start to presume that they are the only way that God acts, or at least the only way that matters. Elijah, after a serious downturn in his prophetic fortunes, goes out into the wilderness looking for a miracle. He needs to hear from God because his spirits are flagging. So he listens in the storm and in the earthquake, wanting to hear God speak with power and authority in ways that are clear and irrefutable. And instead, God speaks to him in the tiny whispering breeze. And so, having heard God in the breeze, Elijah went back to work. The disciples of Jesus, in a boat during a storm, have this miraculous vision of Jesus walking on the waters, and they are filled with fear that it's a ghost. Peter demands miraculous proof that it's Jesus, so he walks across the water himself, until his own fears drag him down. I think these two stories taken together are a reminder not to rely on the sorts of miracles that make headlines or that seem to operate outside the laws of physics. Elijah needed a reminder in the midst of his troubles that God was still with him if he would simply shut up and listen. Peter had to realize that his own fear could drag him under just as his faith could lift him up. For Peter, there's a choice to make that's not really about miracles, it's about himself. Let go of the fear and trust in Jesus or drown. Tough choice. I am sure that you are aware of the terrible events this weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's been particularly on my mind because I have friends that live in that part of Virginia. Neo-Nazis marched with torches and shields and weapons. And there were counter-protesters with signs. One of the counter-protesters was killed and many were injured when one of the white supremacists drove his car into a crowd of people. It was a terrible stain on our country. And no one with a Christian conscience could possibly make a moral equivalence between the Nazi racists and those who were protesting their presence. We would like to believe that this is an isolated incident, but we just can't pretend that anymore. In fact, it has already been announced that in September, on September 11th, no less, there will be a White Lives Matter march in College Station, featuring some of the same people and groups that brought their racism and violence to Charlottesville. These groups feed on fear, and they spread their fear. We are past the point of just hoping for or praying for a miracle to end the rising storm of hatred and violence that is represented by these racist and neo-Nazi groups. It is time for people, and especially white people, to step out of the boat and to trust that Christ's love will overcome our fears. Every one of us has times when we feel like we desperately need a miracle. And when one materializes, it's great. But we have to build our lives around something more reliable. On the small, subtle voice of God that is always there, telling us right from wrong, and our trust in God, the trust that drives out fear. As we struggle with political and social divisions and watch with alarm as rhetoric morphs into violence, please pray and reflect. It may be time to overcome our fears and to step out of the boat and into the waters.